This month's podcast is being released in conjunction with the State Library and Archives' new online exhibit, Pestilence, Potions, and Persistence, Early Florida Medicine. The materials in the exhibit originate from various collections in the holdings of the State Library and Archives of Florida that highlight the role of health and wellness in the lives of Florida citizens and the development of the state. The exhibit follows the gradual evolution of medical practice and healthcare infrastructure in Florida with documents, correspondence, and photographs dating back to the territorial period. Digitized images from the Florida Photographic Collection provide a view of early healthcare facilities and doctors, pioneering African American physicians and women caregivers, as well as Native American healers. An extensive essay chronicles the many challenges facing Florida's transition from a disease-prone wilderness swampland to the tourism and recreation paradise we know today. In whole, Pestilence, Potions, and Persistence, Early Florida Medicine, paints a sweeping picture of the changing face of medicine in the nation's first state to experience settlement by foreign explorers. Our podcast features a component of Florida medicine that existed long before those European adventurers ever reached the coastlines of the state. In this oral history interview, recorded on January 18, 1985, Seminole Indian tribal healer Susie Billy of the Big Cypress Seminole Indian Reservation discusses how she learned healing practices from her mother and father as a child, including herb gathering and identification, preparing natural cures, gender roles in Seminole medicine, physical and spiritual healing, payment methods for administering services, and the use of medicine songs. It is a truly rare and fascinating opportunity to listen to the experiences and methods of a Seminole healer firsthand. Enjoy.
Here we are. This is Black Knowing and Andrew Graham and Jeanette Cypress. Pilot Billy. Talking to Susie Jim Billy on the Big Cypress Reservation, January 18th, 1985. And we're just going to ask some general questions. Jeanette's going to do some translating, I hope. And, gosh, I don't know how to start. So I'm at a loss here. Susie, tell us where you were raised, born and raised, and who your mother and daddy were.
She was born in Collier County and grew up in Collier County.
And you were born when?
She doesn't remember. Her dad had told her at one time that.
Yeah. It's been about 85 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're well known as someone who knows the old medicine, the healing medicine. How did you come about to learn medicine?
She said that we were told by her mother and her family that you're supposed to inquire about medicine and learn so you can help your kids with, you know, when you have children. And so she asked her dad, and her dad taught her some, and her uncles, and a few from her aunts.
Okay. What were their names, dad and uncle and aunts?
Little Jim, the father. She doesn't know the English names for the uncle.
Okay.
I think back then they usually referred to him by the Indian names.
Sure.
And they never.
Now, you were talking one time, Susie, about the difference between healing medicine and sort of the big medicine. What is that difference? You know what I'm talking about, Jeanette?
I think so.
Biskuskain, se on kuutuskain, se on.
She said there is little ones and then there's some bigger ones. I think I'm trying to remember how we got on that subject last time we were talking about that.
Some medicine is strictly men's, you know, they're in charge of, I guess, the big medicine.
I think it's like the green corn dance.
Yeah,
that the women didn't do.
Right.
Yeah, that's what she was talking about last time. She said those are more like powerful type of stuff, and that certain sexes did that one.
And there was something else I read about medicine bundles. Do you know what those medicine bundles are?
It's those bundles are for mostly corn dances, the men that carry those too, like the head person for the ceremony.
Yeah.
And the women don't.
Okay.
The women aren't supposed to touch that either.
Okay. Now, was it common when you were learning medicine as a young person for a woman to learn what you learned?
She said back then, it was good and it was required for both sexes to learn the medicine. The only thing that was taboo or whatever was the corn dance. That's the only thing the women weren't allowed to learn, the medicine for that. But everything else, I guess, is pretty well open. They can learn whatever they want.
Uh-huh. Is it more common for a woman, a woman who knows medicine, to treat other women, or just as common for a woman to treat men and women? She said it didn't really matter. A sick man could go to the woman, or a woman can go to a male. Back then, the whole idea was healing. It didn't matter who was doing it. As long as someone knew the cure, they could pretty much doctor whoever was ill. So there was really no restrictions. Now, if somebody comes to you, how do you know what's really wrong with them?
She said they'll tell you symptoms. They'll talk about what's been wrong with them and stuff. And she says she'll remember the symptoms that she was taught for different medicines. Then she'll decide from the symptoms which medicine to use.
Okay. And if you use a medicine and it doesn't seem to work, do you try something else, or is that just too bad? She said that if they're still the same, you would add on more things and try it again. If you try, normally when you treat somebody, you have an herbal part, and then is there normally a song that goes with the herbal treatment?
She said you just gather the herbs you need to go with whatever sickness you're going to do, and then you do your chant to go with the disease. Mm-hmm. Then you mix up your herbs.
Do you sing or say the chant while you're mixing the herbs?
Hopanik sugulik. I chani a tapping lu aloma tik tapping lik pa khopani pi utam ta
tapping lik pa tana ba chi pa lai chi pa u ga khopani pa ni go.
She said you prepare it first, you mix it, if it's going to be in water, whatever, you mix it all up, then you do your chant.
Okay.
You sit there after it's already mixed up or prepared.
Okay. Do you use a song or a chant when someone's using it, like if they drink it or apply it?
Nangahe. Shilbo chungo kuon ho pano wagilunga mate lian tanabi pa shilbo chke manta.
Tanabi pan shishi pa shini mahi ta sing pungari hayishka mati aru kobala and shay kobalush. Zaman shishi pa mama mishka to kuon shishi pa shini mahi ta sing pungari.
She said that, no, you prepare it. Like she'll sit by herself and prepare. That person will come and tell them what's wrong and they, sometimes they'll bring the herbs if they know which herbs they're supposed to be, because it's easier on her.
Sure.
And then they bring it, and then they'll leave most of the time. She prepares it, you know, where it's peaceful and quiet, where there's no interruptions.
Right.
And after she's through, a lot of times it's in a jar with water, and so they'll come back to pick it up. And when they come back, she'll tell them how to use it, whether it's supposed to be heated or cold or early in the morning or whatever, whether they have to throw it up.
Yeah.
And she'll tell them how to use it, what not to eat, and how long it's in effect for, and stuff like that. And they take it home, and they can do it at home.
Okay.
So all of it's the song and the whole thing is all together in that stuff. So. And sometimes they might have to use it four times, so they might have to use a little bit, store it in the refrigerator, and then use it again later on until it's empty.
Yeah. And we were talking earlier about the way people pay for this, you know, what are some things that someone might give you in return for the medicine you give them?
She said that it depends a lot on which medicine it is, but some of the things is like material, fabric, and sometimes gun shells, and knives, sometimes a live thing that could be the pig.
Yeah.
Things like that. But, sometimes beads.
But she doesn't take like cash money, today's money.
She said that some instances she has, if they cannot find a live pig to give to her, they'll give her the money and she'll buy the meat to eat with it. Or they'll bring like a ham if they can't find a get a hold of a live.
Yeah. Okay. Now, can you treat spiritual as well as physical ailments?
He hang ne himan ungai golus ten tu ya nak jakesh ka nak na ingo shulu pa hi na lumus ma muli acha ek chumi me chumi ko jang lumus. Yes.
Yes.
Chinta.
I think she was telling me before that a lot of the illnesses, sometimes they think it's associated with spirits. A lot of times she'll know what that person's sick from the dreams they'll tell her.
Okay.
Like dreams, like,
yeah.
Like one time I had dreams of snakes. All the time I would be like on an island or somewhere and there'd be nothing but snakes. And I'd wake up crying. This is when I was younger. And she told me that my problem was snakes. That I had a sickness with snakes. So she prepared this stuff and I used it and it was so bad, I think I had a phobia of snakes. Like I'd cry when I'd run into a snake and stuff. I was so paranoid about it.
Yeah.
And I kept going through the treatment with her and finally I got to where it didn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
And I quit having those dreams.
Yeah.
I even had this sore on my leg where it started peeling.
Is it because of that fear you had of snakes.
And she said that it was a, I was peeling. You know how a snake skin peels, the scale? It was a weird, I had a sore on there and it started peeling and stuff. And it was really weird. But after all that, I was fine.
Yeah. Hmm. If someone comes to you with a burn or something that's clearly a physical thing, is that easier to treat than something that might be more spiritually?
No, yeah, yatushka yihie agnushka ilboshi hile nomga ye ay chimi montun te chi la ho ro shulu pa din wa chi chi ao te chita glonga hantun te jina ro
yin te dilo ho shu wa no wa chan
te yeah the burn
that's relatively easy
yeah.
What is the hardest kind of problem that a person would come to you with to treat?
Nagat aichumiye yatimik chumiye lapk shimwan tachuma mushalongwa in a week nagat.
Nagami ungari chingwan dongwa alamde yatushkan okshushka tarkaga aichingwan ungari te ungari.
She said that when she mentioned before that it was like a dying out art because nobody really does it anymore. Childbirth.
Yeah.
You know, because she said you figure all the bones and everything had separated, so it's harder to do.
The bones separate.
I mean, during childbirth, it's like she feels like everything kind of
comes
apart, so it's harder to get everything back into.
Okay. Now, where did you learn that particular medicine?
Nuna shamahaya miktishin which ya tichkishka imik chomingiga.
She said, her grandfather.
Her mother's father is the one that taught her.
Was that little Jim? No.
That was her father.
Yeah.
She said that it's the father, her mother is Miami Jim, mm-hmm. and her father was Miami Billy. She was named after the father.
Okay. All right. Could you describe the steps involved in this child birthing medicine? So
it's more like, I think, medicine for after they've had the baby.
Yeah.
To me, han ta chin ei chu mo jing wa ya ya ti chi ge pis ga chi ma ji man de pan wo ti ma la na ga tan tan mei chu ja la o wo ni shun chu le mei chu ma
ei chu ta la he ji Я тут еще всем говорю, я чем бычка ты. Если сильно он чего-то и чего там хейлен. А что он еще мне нахуй чек хупан. Мог он угодно, потали он чего и каповки год. Меньше мне.
She said that first you have to collect the herbs and either herself or someone that's through childbearing. You know, it can't be someone that's going to have future kids. It's got to be someone that's already through having all their kids.
Okay.
They can collect the herbs. And then after she gets the herbs, they will also bring a skirt as part of the medicine. And she'll sit on the skirt while she prepares the medicine. She mixes it all up. Then while she's doing her chant,
mm-hmm.
usually they blow into it with that. Have you seen one of those bamboo mm-hmm. things? She's got. That's how they get. They sing and then they blow into the water. That's how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how, and mahan kapuk ki pa chukun hangamo na kaiyan. It's kind of like the heating lamp concept, you know. I don't know if you never had kids, so you wouldn't know, but like after you have your baby, they make you lie down in the bed and they put like a sheet over it and they have that heating lamp.
Yeah.
and it's to heal the cuts, you know, where you had your episiotomy. Yeah. It's kind of like that same effect, except she did one on me, I mean, a couple times when I had the kids. And you build like a fire outside, and when she's through preparing the medicine, you keep heating it.
Heating the medicine.
Yeah, because it's a liquid with the herbs all in it. And then she, I remember she put put me like, I had to take all my clothes off, and it was like a sheet, or I can't remember what we used, but like a sheet or something all around, and that steam would have to go up in like in my body and my cuts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how they use it. They keep pouring that medicine in there, and it just keeps like a vapor.
Yeah.
My ishkamanta,
ishkepak.
And then you drink, also drink the medicine. Ishkepak
lapafak shichepak kashayagan shupakipak. Mamichepak takkan ishkubishtanichu. Mali.
And then even after the medicine's cool, you can still like bathe in it. Mm-hmm. And you use it like the whole day till it's all gone.
Do you do that just as soon as you can after the baby's
born?
She said that it kind of depends on the individual. She can do it right after they get home from the hospital, like if they had the stitches and it's really bothering them,
mm-hmm.
or if they want to wait till later, she can do it later after, you know, they've had their checkup or whatever. It's up to them.
Okay. Do many people want that medicine today?
She says it's kind of half and half. There is some that won't ask for any, and there's still some that do want the medicine done.
Yeah, that's good.
And she said as far as the ones that know how to still do the medicine, I think it's just her and her brother left.
And her brother's Buffalo Jim.
Mm-hmm. It's probably just two of them. And then she said nobody's really ever expressed an interest to learn it either.
Well, maybe Agnes will.
Yeah.
We'll make sure she does. Is there any medicine that's used while a woman is pregnant to sort of make sure things go all right?
You can have up to about three medicines done to you while you're pregnant before you have the baby.
Okay. I guess there's certain medicines for morning sickness or something.
It's more like, one is like, I don't know how to describe some of these medicines too clearly in English, but one of them is like, to make it like a person. I mean, I don't know how you would say it, but to make it like
where it would be whole.
I guess something like that, or something to that effect. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it to her.
Is most of it for the mother or the baby, or
both?
Or some
both? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I assume there are certain songs or chants that go with each one.
Yeah, and then they also have like one for what I had told you before about, you know, remember I told you like if a man is going out on the woman, they have things like that.
Yes.
Well, they even include that in there when you're pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To keep the man at home?
No, not really. To keep the baby, the unborn baby, from getting sick. Because you never know, what if your husband's having an affair?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know, things like that. Or also, they come in contact with other people, so they could pick up other things.
Okay.
I don't know how to,
now that was something
too much too.
That was complicated, because you were talking about a medicine for the kid If the husband or the wife was having an affair, that would make it easier on the kid. Is that what you were talking
not
about?
Not really easier mentally, but physically, so they won't lose their appetites or get skinny or be cranky. It was more of that kind of stuff. Sometimes they say if the kid has diarrhea a lot, that's from the effect of that. Then when you think about it, it does affect the kids emotionally. So what if they would affect their appetites? Like with my separation, I've noticed how my middle one has gone through a whole bunch of different changes.
Yeah.
Even with eating habits and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's tricky.
I have a question. Are the herbs always gathered fresh when somebody comes, or do you ever keep them?
She said if it's too far to go out and get that particular herb, you can save it and it'll be dried out and you can still use it. She's got a couple of bags laying around somewhere. Since she doesn't have a car, she always has some on hand.
If you can't find, if you can't find a certain herb, can you substitute something else or a combination of something else?
If you can't find it, you still, I guess you just leave it out. And you just go ahead, but you do the whole song like you've always done. Don't leave anything out, just sing the whole thing all the way through, but you would be missing that one medicine.
Okay. Now, I don't know whether I was talking to y'all last time or James or somebody. I was talking about there's some herbs that historically y'all used that grow further north. They don't grow down
here. No, probably that sassafras.
For instance.
Tea root, yeah.
What do you do what do you do about the medicine that's a big part of?
She usually keeps some on hand. Other Indian tribes
she just gets it.
Will know about it. So they'll bring it down, they'll sell it to whoever's doing medicine, and she'll always keep a supply of whatever.
What part of the sassafras do you use?
The root. The root, yeah.
Okay. Next time I'm in Swanee, I'll bring you a
sample. That'd be terrific, because I went up to Mississippi for a conference one time, and I dug up some and brought a suitcase full back to them.
All right.
So, and they just keep it on hand.
Okay.
They use that one a lot.
Okay. That was something else I was going to ask. What about herbs that grow in particular places? Is it better for an herb to grow in a shady place in some cases, or a sunny place, or a wet place, or a dry place? Does that affect the power of the medicine? See what I mean?
Can I answer that on my own?
Yeah. Does that make any difference?
As long as it's the herb you want. It don't matter where it's at.
Okay. Well, it's on the north side of something or the south side? Okay. Let's see.
I was interested when you were talking about naming last night and how people do the names. Is there any kind of medicine connected to that? Or is it usually?
What do you mean, the kids' names?
Yes, Indian names. How is that? How are they chosen? You said they were related to medicine.
She usually decides what she wants to name the child, I think, just from memory of thinking of all the songs. And she'll also try to think of a name that somebody else doesn't have in the tribe, an Indian name.
Yeah, मैं दक्षिणा से दयम कुम्मे मन सपा विषय से शुमा दो
ओमा या ते हो ची हो ते हूँ वाची नग लगा
ये तो सेंसिव को मान शुरू हो फिर वो तो मिल मा
ओमा ये दिन ते हो ची कुम्मे मान शेइ ती ने मुगा ये अपुर्ती ची आ तीन आम हो ची शुचा लानी ते ओमा
वो बंगो शेइ पगा ये तीन आम सर से शुमा निचे इधर
Right, and she came to us. I was asking her. She said that usually they'll think of a certain section in some of the songs that you could kind of use as a name. And then she'll go ahead and name the person. I said, what if there's somebody else by that same Indian name? And she goes, that's okay too, as long as, let's say, they're from Brighton or the other reservation, not right. the same reservation.
Okay. That was something you reminded me. Does the medicine differ amongst the different clans? So that certain clans have certain medicines that other clans don't.
Yatim hochip kahe aichmi aishlok pachin ta sta chmo sha ma tim ta le tan ta chak tin ji ta sta ji im ta
nan ta sha
sha do ris ka aichmi ta ho ska aichum na khon le ga ma ho sha ma de che
ma um et sta ji pa ga aichmi ya mi ma
le tan ta chak ko pa na ji im ta
e to sta sha pa na ji pa ta sta chmo ari ma ro ka ta sta sha te ma mo to ta sta chmo ga ya ko
Oma yat kuwa da ta ikchumi ga ye shimu wa ta chin shun ti chma le to che inga ma ti mo
mo ma shun ti chum to
mo ma met yat ti mek chum
ba ta cha mo ko bi cha le shtu ma mo le to
From what she's told me in the past, I was asking her, didn't you say that a long time ago it was mostly the Panther clan that was pretty much in charge of the medicine? And she said, yeah, she said a long time ago it was mostly Panther people and some of the Wind clan that were considered like the medicine people in the tribe. But now it's whoever learns it.
Okay. What about different groups of people? Like, is it the Cow Creek crowd that's up north, up around Okeechobee and Brighton? Is that the...
The Creeks.
Is that... They're different. Do they speak the same language?
They speak Creek.
Creek.
There's some that know both. Okay. The Miccosukee and the Creek.
Okay.
Chisha Pushni Chale, Aikchimi, Hapashna Chiaye, Tithama Tastatunta. I was asking her, is the songs in Creek and you have to learn the Creek? And she said that it's kind of both. There's songs in Miccosukee, but the Miccosukee she's talking about, I think, is the old Miccosukee language, not this recent. Because it's hard for me to understand her. You know what I'm saying? When she sings it, it's a lot of the old language, I think.
It's closer to the Creek language than the Miccosukee is.
She said, we don't speak Creek, and the Creeks don't speak Miccosukee. I mean, there's a few people that speak both. But our medicine songs are combined. There's some Creek in there plus Miccosukee. So when they're learning, they're going to have to learn the Miccosukee, and we're going to have to learn the Creek parts.
Oh.
That's why I think it's hard for me to pick up, because it's like a whole new...
Sure. Is there a song that you could sing that would be an example of that?
Он башкашка шейчин, а шабан гижин, жан шейлим мэдэ.
Лафау,
шкин, панэчкин. Ха. Куш-кушкин, эч гауш. Анда тэн гауш. Куш-пэджикчэ, ну хачи. Ха. Мэт нэш тэмум. Хуни шини чан, упу ялэйка, шопак таша, кушу лут шуйчин, лапа туйчин, лаби шуйчин, каша пуйчин, тала ху, тала ху. Hu tala ho kula Ashagla tiri chan hupu yalika Ashopak tala ku shulut shui chan Lapat hui chan labi shui chan kashat hui chan Tala ho tala ho tala ho tala ho kula
That's why it's hard for me to learn. Because I don't know it. I can kind of make out like cooling and maybe a few little words in there, but it's hard. So that's why it's hard for us to pick it up.
Because
people think, if you know Miccosukee, why can't you sing the song?
Yeah.
But
it's just
it's not. It's like a whole new. It's like a whole new language to me.
Well, that's not a very short song. I thought it's pretty long.
I wonder how long the long
is. Not the same thing, but it's 4 times.
She's saying the same thing, but
it's 4 times. It's like one
phrase,
but said 4 times.
It's like one
phrase,
but said 4 times. It's like one phrase, but said 4 times. It's
like one phrase, but said 4 times.
Yeah,
same thing, but 4 times.
It has to do with the
direction. She's saying the same thing, but it's
4 times.
I think most of the chants go 4 times.
Okay. How did that
so if I can learn that one line, then I just have to sing it four times. So if someone burns themselves, she said they usually take like crystal, you know, lard or whatever, and then you sing your song on that, and then you smear it on there, or blow on there, and it should cool it off.
Okay. So there's no real fancy concoction.
But you don't. But you don't put water on the burn.
Yeah.
Clearly, but
or it'll get blistered.
Okay.
I think next time, hopefully, if I start in with them, at least I'll be able to learn the short ones. I don't know about the long ones.
4 times, I guess. Like Andrew's saying that came about. Are there any gestures or motions that normally go along with the singing that at certain times? And that's just a bamboo stick about 18 inches long that's hollowed out. Now, does that have any magical properties? Can you use anything, like a silver straw?
She said that she's known that's what they originally used, but she said she's seen people where if they didn't have none of those, they've used the straw, a regular straw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about?
So it's really your powers are in your songs.
Yeah.
It's not really in the herbs or in your
stuff,
whatever
it's
you
in
use.
The,
it's in your.
As if you can use Crisco. Or something.
So it's not that. Because I think some people used to think it was the herbs.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah. It's the combination.
Uh-huh. Omte yatush kimik chuma ashkan ayik chitai ti chipik chenam ga ye papan gol chag mai cho
mai cho ma to lo ishke to gol ishka ga ma lo ma to ai chak kutin ga ai chak kum ishka ko ma lo ande
I was asking her, I said, what if you were at a place where you didn't have none of your herbs nothing else. Could you just still try to sing the song? And she said, yeah, but if you at least have that one herb that she's got with her,
yeah,
that usually grows out here, she said, you could even just use that if you can't find nothing else.
Yeah. Sound like emergency treatment.
Yeah.
Are there any minerals involved, like certain rocks that are ground up? Or?
There is one for one horn song, I think. Like little rocks that you put in one of your mixtures for one of them.
You don't grind them up, you just put them in.
Just the way they are. There's this one chant, I do remember this one lot. It's for like, let's say a person, I don't know how you can describe it. Let's say a guy will not settle down. He dates this woman and that woman, and he's just kind of that way. Playboy, I guess you would say.
Don't point at me.
And they won't settle down. So let's say this girl, and maybe if the guy is willing to want to try to settle down and be more stable and have a marriage or either stay with that one girl, there's medicine you can do for that. That's when you rocks. They use the rocks. And what it is they dig a hole. And after she's prepared the medicine and everything, she's usually early in the morning, you have to drink. It's like a real black mixture of the medicine. You go out there in the morning, and it's like a hole that's dug, and you throw up. You drink as much as you can till you keep throwing up 4 times. You do that same process. Then at the end, that's when the rocks are put into the hole, and you cover up the hole. And that's supposed to make you more subtle and more stable and not want you to, I guess, make you wander and all that kind of stuff.
Is it that, what does the throwing up have to do with it?
It's cleansing yourself
from
all the women you've ever had. Yeah.
You don't need more than 4 times. Does the rock have to do with the kind of rock it is, or the size, or the shape, or the color?
She said that the rocks could be just small ones. It don't matter what size, really, or what kind. She said that's supposed to be the anchor to make you heavier or more settled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about a woman that's wild?
They feel like, it's like when you're dating different people, they feel like you're consuming their spirit or part of them with you. That's like when they're breathing on you, stuff like that. So like, I think in the old days, if they had been dating someone for a while, when they were going to meet the next person and go on, they would cleanse themselves of the other one.
That makes sense.
So they didn't carry around all the stuff. Like, I remember I dated someone for a while, and when I separated, she did that for me, and I went through the whole cleansing process. It's to make me more of a person, more stable in whatever, instead of having all these other mixed feelings, I guess, from the other relationships.
Yeah, like a rite of passage kind of. Leave one and...
She always says that's the problem with the boyfriend I had that I left.
Uh-huh.
She said he's never done it, and he was a typical
mixed up
playboy all through our relationship and never really settled down, and he won't go through the medicine. So she said he's always going to be that way.
Who?
Danny.
Danny. Well, there you go.
A lot of the guys don't want to do it because prescriptions after your medicine is not to drink alcoholic beverages for 4 months. So a lot of them don't want to give up their alcohol. And for women, I think you can't use perfume and heavy, like that kind of smell and stuff.
Is alcohol a part of any medicine, like a part of an herbal mixture? Do you mix anything in alcohol? Is it always water if you mix it with a liquid?
It's water. Ugugulam ta ay che taya machka ugugulam kaya mo machka tan.
Ugugulam.
Iskin is ma misti man. Water.
Is it just any water, like tap water?
Ugilahan ta cha.
Ugilahan ta iskin. La isugun bi gaya. Isugun bi gaya. Ilahan ta isugun bu mari.
Now you were talking at one time. About diet. Food. Certain foods go with certain medicines.
Like sometimes she'll tell you can't eat backbone or there'll be certain things that you can't eat like fruits. Let's say fruits that rot very easy. Things like that.
Are there any that you're supposed to eat?
I think so. It's just
one
thing.
I'm going to
do another song for you.
Okay.
I guess
you
should end it. This one's for cuts and stuff.
Okay.
What is this? Shump, shump, cup. Hashagalat filicha, niktaati, ashupate, shump shump, ashupate, shump shump, kuk. Wahalilicha, niktaati, ashupate, shump shump, ashupate, shump shump, kuk. Ashupshilicha, niktaati, ashupate, shump shump, ashupate, shump shump, kuk. Yeah, I'm ready.